I always say confidence is trusting yourself that you can handle whatever comes next. It's not trusting yourself that you're going to be perfect.
Right.
It's right. Trusting yourself that you're going to be able to reach out and get help when you need it. It's trusting that the resources will appear because you're willing to ask, that you can handle if it doesn't go the way that you hope that it would. You're going to be okay. You're going to make it through if you're willing to keep putting one foot in front of the other. Welcome to the Andrea Engstrom Show for Bold Women in Business. We are passionate about helping you break through to your next level of abundance, success, and freedom so that you can create the life you desire and inspire others to do the same. I'm your host, Andrea Engstrom, and I'm here with my beautiful co-host, Brenda Stroud. Hey, Brenda.
Hey, girl. Hey, I have to say you look fantastic today.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm a hoop girl today. I got my hoops in my ears and
I see you rocking the really pretty glasses. The whole is just fantastic.
Well, thank you. Well, hey, you know, today I'm really excited about this topic because today we're going to talk about taking bold action, how to do the hard thing. And I think this is one of those things that is what I appreciate about you is that you are someone who leans in when things get hard. You also do uncomfortable things that get you results in your business and in your life. Yeah. And so let's dig in on this today.
I would love that. You know, you're absolutely right. You do have to be prepared and ready to sometimes do the hard things, make difficult decisions, own your decisions, whether they went the way you wanted them to go or it didn't, it was a little off. You got to be able to own all of that. And I think sometimes people don't give themselves permission to own their mistakes or their boo-boos or however you want to describe them. And, you know, to be able to let's clear the plate and clear the slate and start all over again. I think that that's something that people have to learn to do.
Yeah, that can be one of the hardest things. Isn't it? Is when there's something that you have gone down a path and it didn't turn out how you hoped it would. And now it's time to shift.
Yeah.
And to recognize that, like, hey, this didn't go the way that I said that it would. Mm-hmm. And now I've got to take ownership and do a hard thing to be able to make that shift.
Yeah. I think realizing that that may be difficult for you to do causes you to have to go back. And tap into whether it was your upbringing or how you process things or that little voice in your head that tells you that you're not perfect or you need to be perfect or whatever. I think sometimes not being able to own whatever it is that you realize now further down the road, like, I should have went left, but I went right or whatever. And like I said, give yourself permission to not be perfect, but to be authentic and to keep it real. To be able to ask for help or to be able to acknowledge, like, I could do that better, you know, and not just, you know, and not be the kind of person that just wants to die on the hill on something, even though you know it's wrong, but you want everybody else to believe it's right. No, I meant to burn that chicken. No, you didn't, girl. You did not mean it.
Oh, I've burned a lot of chicken in my life. I promise.
That's right. But that's life. You're not a cook if you haven't burned something.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
Yeah, so that's the same thing in business. You know, I know for me, you know, I've been dibbling dabbling in real estate most of my adult life, but I'd never leaned into it like I did in 2020. Mm-hmm. Doing it full time, meeting other people who are doing it different. I'm a people watcher, so I'm watching what other people are doing. Said, maybe I need to try that or whatever. But I stepped into a space that I had never been in on that level before.
Right.
So I did not expect that I had all the answers. I didn't put that pressure on myself. I allowed myself to be in a room with other people who maybe have a different idea or maybe take a different path to accomplish their goals, which may be similar goals to mine. So I was okay with, let's try Andrea's way this time. It doesn't have to be Brenda's way. Because Andrea's way it's probably the best way in this season in my life. And I was okay with that. You'd be surprised how many people are not okay with that. They're so competitive. not only with other people, but with themselves, that they don't give themselves enough space to expand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I think we put so much pressure on ourselves to have all the answers
yes.
before we start. And I think that's what keeps a lot of people stuck mm-hmm. and not doing the thing that feels overwhelming, that feels hard, because we think it has to be perfect. We think we have to have all the answers. We have to know the right way, as if we're born knowing how to do everything right.
Right.
Yeah. But I think
that causes them to be stuck too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or not start at all, because they spend this spinning wheel in this spirit of preparation for far too long, far too long.
Absolutely. And I always say confidence is trusting yourself that you can handle whatever comes next. It's not trusting yourself that you're going to be perfect.
Right.
It's right. trusting yourself that you're going to be able to reach out and get help when you need it. It's
yeah.
trusting that the resources will appear because you're willing to ask that yeah. you're, yeah. you know, that you can handle if it doesn't go the way that you hoped that it would, that you're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Like you're going right. to make it through if you're willing to keep putting one foot in front of the other.
That's true. Because I think that sometimes we as ladies don't realize that by hesitating or not fully committing to whatever it is that we're doing, we're sending the message to other people who are in their space with us that we're not confident.
Mm.
Or, you know, or we're inadvertently devaluing what we have to bring to the, you know, to the table, whether it's knowledge or wisdom or quotes or what. Just it could be something small, but that small piece, if you don't allow yourself to share that small piece in a big room, then that will have that chain be completely disconnected.
Mm, yeah.
So if you have a little something, one of your experiences, Andrea, let's say this is what I learned when I did this. If I don't hear that, I could be spinning my wheels in the same lane for an additional year because you didn't say it or I didn't hear that small piece that is the missing piece to my puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So we have to understand that it's not intended for it to be huge. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's just that little experience that you had or that little thing that helped push you over the line or that gave you confidence or that encouraged you or inspired you that can bless someone else. But you got to say it. You got to live it. You got to walk it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's how we all grow. That's how mm-hmm. we gain confidence to do hard things is when we share our journey with others and we are willing to receive encouragement and support from others and learn from their mistakes. And because yeah. that's part of, for me, that's part of what gives me confidence is when I yeah. see someone try and move in that direction and then something goes wrong and they keep going and they yeah. figure it out and they shift yeah. and because I know that there's nothing that I'm going to do that's going to go exactly how I hoped it would. I've lived enough of my life and tried enough things to know that it almost never goes how we plan.
No, it's not supposed to.
Right.
It's not supposed to. I mean, sometimes you have to, in order for it to bring value to it, you kind of got to grind it out. You kind of uh-huh. got to have that experience or to have that part of the story to tell where, you know, when I first did this, it looked like this. And I just knew you know, what I was doing. I knew I was right until I realized I was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. you know, I've never spoken to a truly successful person who has a story of perfection.
Yeah.
Never. That's never the story. And by the way, that's a very uninteresting story, isn't it?
It really is.
It's like I did this and it worked out exactly and perfect and I never made a mistake and it all worked out as planned. Nobody can even relate to that story.
No. In my mind, if I hear somebody tell a story like that, I'm like, they're not being authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody yeah. lying to somebody.
Yeah, the BS radar is going off.
Yeah, because yeah. I'm like, I find that very, very hard to believe. And not to say that, and I think the key is how we describe the journey. Mm-hmm. It's not failure just because you had to do it a couple of times mm-hmm. before you got to the lane or the space that you're comfortable with
mm-hmm.
that worked for you. And I think that, you know, we as individuals have to remember that we are individuals and what we bring to any experience is the totality of our life experience. My experience growing up was different from your experience growing up. Mm-hmm. So some of the things that that you that changed your life or that gave value to your life might be different than what I experienced and brought value, you know, for my life. And the two of us coming together, that thing can cross over. And next thing you know, we're both better people for the for each other's experience and being able to receive, you know, from for me to be able to receive from your lessons and your bumps in the road and all those things. But you got to be open to that. You cannot put unrealistic expectations on yourself.
Right.
And really inadvertently put it on other people.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was just thinking about when you and I'm trying to remember where we were at, because Brenda and I get together in person sometimes with a group of other women that we have a lot of respect for. And I remember we were doing a planning session, like getting ready for this new year or something like that. And I remember I asked the question, what has prepared you for your next chapter of success? What has prepared you to go to the next level? Mm-hmm. And I asked everybody, and there's like 20 women in this room, and everybody went around the circle, and every single person shared a hard thing they had experienced, either a failure or something they had overcome, something from their childhood, like you described, like some kind of life experience that was hard that prepared them for their next level of success. And when I asked that question, I was expecting, because there was a lot of successful women in that room.
Yeah.
I was expecting them to share, well, because I achieved this, now I'm ready to achieve this. Yeah. Not a single one of them said, because I was so amazing, I'm going to be even more amazing. No, every single person said, I went through this thing that I thought would break me. And it did not. Now I know I can do hard things.
That's right.
We don't try hard things, we don't learn that about ourselves. We don't learn that we're capable of enduring when things get hard. And so we stay playing small and safe and in our little bubble. So I'm really proud of the women that we surround ourselves with. I'm proud of you because you're somebody that does hard things.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm proud of you as well.
Thank you.
And I have to say, that's one of the biggest blessings from being in the room with like-minded women. Mm-hmm. It's because we can relate to each other's story. And even when we're in that space and everybody was sharing something different, I would venture to say that whatever one person shared, at least three or four other women in the room had a similar experience.
Yep.
You know, and maybe had elevated themselves beyond that on multiple different ways. You know, I did this, I did that, you know, and you have to have that. I think you have to have those experiences again to give yourself permission to be okay with the path that you had to take to get where you are now and continue to reach forward. Because you know, what I always like to say to people, that if you're not stretching, then you're not growing.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, I think also that sometimes we have ideas and plans and we even feel called to do something. We get clarity of a direction that we should take, and it feels scary or like a hard thing, but we feel like it's what we're supposed to do. And so we go down that path thinking that the point is for us to succeed in whatever we try.
Yeah.
And I believe that that God is in control and he knows better than we do. And sometimes there are things that we are called to, a direction, a path that is not for our for us to have total victory and ultimate success, but it is for us to become who we need to be.
Yeah. That's right.
In order to do the next thing, the thing that we're really supposed to do, or it is for us to make the right connections. And sometimes those connections have nothing to do with us. It is for what, for something that somebody else needs. Like we are a part of their journey that we can't even know what that is. And so I think when you feel called to do something, when you get clarity and you begin to run with it and it doesn't work out exactly how you expected it to, to recognize that it is the journey and the lessons and the connections that may be the point. It may not have been the ultimate success was the point. It was you growing into who you need to be and helping others around you to become who they need to be. And that's actually the point.
Yeah. You know, just what you described, I call that, you know, the assignment.
Assignment.
The assignment. Because sometimes, like I said, you could come into a conversation and into a room thinking it's going to be one totally different thing. And, you know, and you start, you know, you didn't realize you were going to talk, that this is what you were going to talk about. And you find yourself saying something that you never thought you would say, and you're not even clear why you said it.
Huh.
But then you realize, like, okay, God gave me an assignment.
Mm-hmm.
That he needed me to dig deep and say this because somebody across the room is thinking about this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to be obedient. I don't have to understand the reasons why I'm saying what I'm saying, but I just need to say it. If he tells me, if God tells me, say this, ask her this, ask her again, or whatever that thing is. That's how I process that when I'm in a space with people or when I'm having conversations, because even when I was a police officer, and I used to, you know, I get up and go to work in the morning, and, you know, every once in a while I run across somebody that did something that they're not supposed to do, and they end up jumping in my car. I would take the moment while we're going from one destination to the other destination to share with them, look, I did not wake up this morning and knew that I was going to be in your company or that you were going to make this decision, and you invited yourself in the back seat of my car.
Yeah.
Now that you're here, we need to talk about your choices. We need to talk about that you're better than this.
Mm.
You need to understand that I understand that this might be the worst day of your life, but God brought us together for a reason. And I'm going to challenge you to see yourself in a better light. Now, the expectations, of course, because I am, like I said, a police officer at the time, there is an expectation that I'm supposed to respond a certain way. That same thing applies in life. That same thing applies when you're sitting in the room with a bunch of other investors and you're the coach, but yeah. Your student says the most wisest thing in the whole session. It came from your student.
Yes.
And you make room for that. So I like to encourage people to always be in a position and be willing to receive as well as be willing to give. But sometimes mm-hmm. receiving requires you to shut it up and just listen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I call that open hands energy.
There you go.
Right? You have open hands. I'm open to receive. It also opens me to give.
Yeah.
And that's the way that I love to position in the groups that I lead and the groups that I'm in is like, let's just have open hands
in this
time together so that we're not holding on to our old ideas. We're not, you know, having that closed energy to what may be for us or what may be for someone else. We're free to give and free to receive. I love that. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. And sometimes when you don't know what to say, sometimes you just say, I receive that.
Mm.
And then, you know, then because sometimes God is still cooking, it's simmering. You lay down that at night, then he really, you know, brings it to the forefront and you know, like, that's it. Okay. That's the solution. That's what I've been looking for, or whatever that, mm-hmm. you know, whatever that thing is. You have to be able to surrender to, you know, for me, I have to be able to surrender to a higher power. Mm-hmm. I don't have all the answers. And then there are those moments when God surprises me and mm-hmm. he lets me know your season in this space is over.
Okay. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. And, you know, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a partnership, whether it's a husband or a wife,
mm-hmm.
A job, a stage of your business, when God reveals it to you, your season is over. I feel like I'm experiencing that right now with real estate.
Mm.
When I first started a course, I consider myself to be a mission investor. So I invest in underserved communities. I mean, when I got there, I mean, God was just opening so many doors.
Yeah.
And I was doing, you know, because it is a community that is underserved, there are so many properties that he had to start from the ground and build it up.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've been there, you know, just almost 5 years, because I think we bought our first property in 2020. And now I feel like God is telling me, you don't need to build from the ground up. I need you to start halfway to the top.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Meaning, you know, you don't need to do any more gut jobs. It takes too long. I have so many other things that I want you to do.
Mm.
So, you know, so in me hearing that, and that's just applying to, you know, to real estate, because, you know, that's one of the things we have in common. In me hearing that, I'm giving myself permission to not be the one that has to build it from the ground up, but maybe encourage someone else to step into that so I can move over and do some other things in, you know, in the business. But the same thing is true in reference to partnerships. As you know, I had a partnership. My ex-husband and I had partners in the edible arrangements. It was another couple. Mm-hmm. It was not a good partnership. It was a learning experience, but it was not a good partnership. I needed to dig deeper before I partnered with somebody, even if they, you know, we had in common is that we attended the same church.
Right.
For a minute there, I thought that was enough. Okay, God's in the midst of it all. God is not in the midst of it all. You know, so you have to, so I have to acknowledge that I was in a place in my life, even though it was hard, that I was able to receive and hear that your season in here is over.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now, have you ever had an experience where looking back or even in the moment of it all, you're realizing that, okay, God is telling me it's time for me to move on, or that my season in this space, this relationship, this connection is over?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I built up a branding agency to about 30 team members, and we, you know, and the year that I sold that business is the year that I got sober. And I don't think that's a coincidence.
Wow.
I got sober the early in January of that year. And then by that fall, we recognized it was time to step away. And we had an offer, and it was just at the right time, you know, mm-hmm. like somebody mm-hmm. wanted to buy the business, and we were able to exit. And it was, but it was such a, for me, it was such a clear, like we're ready to move on. Like I'm ready to be done here. And what was so interesting was I thought that business was going to be my life, you know, like it was a dream I had in my heart from years past. And then it came to fruition, and I loved my team and I loved what we built. And there was something inside me saying, and it is complete. You're done. You don't, this doesn't have to be, this doesn't have to be your whole life, that for the rest of your life, I have something else for you. And I didn't even, and that was the scary thing, is I didn't even know what it was.
Wow.
I had no idea what we were going to transition to. Mm-hmm. 'Cause my husband ran our film production company and I ran the branding agency, and we bundled those together and sold them, and had literally from the day that it sold had no involvement. And so, you know, we got to pay off a little bit of debt, and we were like, what the world are we going to do now?
Yeah.
Like, we did not have piles and piles of money. It was middle of COVID when we sold it. I mean, COVID, that was the same year as COVID started. And so it was, you know, it wasn't like a big cash cow sale situation. It was more like, how do we transition gracefully? And for me, part of it was like an exit out of the amount of pressure and responsibility that I had built and created, this constant machine that had to be fed with new clients and more projects and more team and hours and all the things. And so when we got to exit out of that, I didn't even know what we were going to do next.
Wow.
And it was just a step of faith saying, we're going to figure it out, because what we've been doing doesn't feel like it's what we should keep doing forever. And it's just open hands, right? So we trust that something good is coming. And it was within a month of that I heard a podcast, Bigger Pockets episode with this. And he was interviewing, Brandon Turner was interviewing this single mom who started flipping houses. And I heard her story and I said, if she can do it, I can do it.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's when I started that journey of trying to learn more about how to get into real estate investing, and our whole life changed. Right.
Yeah. You know, I have to say, and I'm sure that's right around the time that, you know, that we also was a part of of the same coaching program. And I have to say, when I first met you, I was so amazed by you. I was drawn to you. You seem very authentic. And even with you sharing how you transitioned from something you always thought you wanted to do to the unknown, you know, you stepped out on faith. Yeah. But you also, you know, included in there that God was also transitioning you in other areas of your life, the excessive behavior part of your life that was connected to it, of being sober.
Yeah.
And So all so connected to that, like uncertainty was the joy and blessing of freedom.
Yeah.
And yeah. then you and Josiah started making these freedom type decisions, jumping into this new thing. And I mean, I was witnessing this as you were sitting here describing it. That's what I was seeing and not even realizing that that's what I was seeing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in your life.
So yeah. That's you know, I think one of the hardest things that we can do is not to do something that makes us nervous. That's a new thing. Cause that can also be exciting. One of the hardest things is to let go of what no longer serves you. Because boy, we get attached.
Oh yeah.
Our identity gets wrapped up
in
who we are because we're in that relationship, who we are because we're in that job, who we are because we're doing certain things and performing at a certain level. And we're afraid if we stop doing it or if we let it go, who am I?
Right.
One of my friends communicates it this way. She says, am I the hole in the donut? Like, who am I if I'm not her anymore? Right. Like if I don't associate with that identity, exactly who am I? And I think a lot of people go through those questions about their life when they're making a big transition or thinking about doing something big. And it's doing the thing is not always the hardest part. It's letting go of the thing that you have to stop doing.
That's right. Allowing yourself, giving yourself freedom. We as women have a tendency to stay in the same space far too long, whether it's a relationship or whether it's performing as a parent of a child. Now you have a young adult, but you're parenting as you still have a child. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just so many things and putting ourselves last.
Yeah.
So sometimes you got to break up with that thought process that everyone else is more important than I am.
Oh yeah.
You've got to release yourself of that thought because see what ends up happening is we as women, well, some women feel guilty. They make themselves feel guilty if they put themselves first, and that can prolong you reaching the goals or the plan that God has for you. You're not fulfilling your assignment, you know, in your own life because you're like, "Oh, I can wait." Oh, no, that's okay. You go first. And when I hear people say that, or whether it's especially women, I'm not saying that I don't encourage my, you know, the men, because I do. But when I hear a woman, you know, saying something like, "Well, no, you know, whatever you want to do," I'm like, I'm gonna pause you right there. What do you mean, whatever I want to do? Your value, what you want to do, is just as valuable as what I want to do. Let's come up with this together,
right?
But they may have never had anyone else in their life that may have given them that opportunity to go first.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I think a lot of us are waiting for permission.
Yes.
Because that's our programming. That's how our mama raised us. Right. You know?
Yeah.
And here, I've been thinking about this a lot, this idea that, and this is something I'm growing in, right? Okay. So I am recognizing that I overserve other people in my life, especially my husband, especially my children, especially my family members, because I want to make them happy is what I tell myself. I'm like, oh, I just want to take good care of everybody. I want to make them happy. And I want to protect them from hard things.
Mm.
And so I overserve, like I will put my own needs aside in order to take care of the people that I love, in order to protect them from being uncomfortable. And here is the big revelation, is that is not about me loving them well. That is about me trying to control their emotions.
Boom, boom.
Oh.
You said it.
Oh, so I've been painting this picture my whole life. I'm like, I'm nurturing. I take care of everybody. And even I'll be a martyr about it. Oh, I take care of everybody and there's no time for me and there's no time to do all the things that I want to do. The truth is I'm a dang control freak trying to make sure nobody else is uncomfortable so I don't feel uncomfortable.
There you go. That right there, you just said a whole mouthful right there. You did. And the thing about that sometimes is you have to see it in other people before you can see it in yourself.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I will call that out in other people. I'll be like, oh girl, stand up for yourself. Take care of yourself. What about your needs? And right. Here I am, you know, freaking out that I haven't given myself time to take a bath or have a quiet time because I'm up cooking everybody breakfast. My kids can cook their own breakfast, but I'm doing it for them still because I love them and I don't want them to be uncomfortable.
Girl, and I want you to take that bath. I need you to take that bath.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
But you're right. That whole controlling piece, you know, it's, and some people it's so subtle.
Yeah.
But then when you see it and when you witness it, I know when I see it in other people, it causes me to look at myself. Mm-hmm. Like, do I do that? Is that what that looks like? You know, am I being honest with myself? Am I controlling? And if you don't find yourself asking those questions, then you cannot move differently because right. You gotta be honest with yourself. First, I don't care how many times other people tell me something. If I don't see it for myself, then the change will never come.
That's right.
Never come. But we do have a tendency to try and control, you know, the people around us and the things around us and you know, whatever we can get our hands on and not even fully understanding that's controlling behavior. I'm gonna need you to shut that down.
Yeah.
I'm going to need you to be okay with not being a passenger driver. I was famous for that. No, you should go down here because it's fat. No, girl, sit still, button it up. Yeah. Ride in the passenger seat. You know, so it's the same thing in life. Sometimes you got to sit on your hands and then let people, you know, figure it out for themselves because you take so much away from the other person when you don't allow them to experience hard things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, for me, some of this behavior goes way back to childhood. Mm-hmm. Because I was a good girl. And what I mean by that is I was manipulative with my behavior. I would be, you know, as good as possible so that I could do the things that I really wanted to do.
Right.
Like, and so I learned that the consequence or result of me being extra helpful at home is that my parents would let me have additional privileges and let me do things. And so now as an adult, I want to be extra helpful to other people in my life so that I get what I want.
Yeah. See, you're being real honest right now.
I know. Get that out of the bag.
Yeah. Tell the truth. Why don't you?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
But that's true. You know, if we're not able to, like I said, constantly analyze ourselves or check ourselves and be authentic to ourselves, then you can't be authentic to other people.
Yeah.
So I think that the fact that you're realizing that, you're saying it out loud, you're acknowledging it so that if you ever see those types of behaviors creep up again, you'll be able to catch yourself and say, you know what, let me restate that. Let me take that back because I was about to manipulate you and you didn't even see it coming. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just going to tell you up front, don't let me do this. Don't let me say this because I'm challenging myself as I give you permission to challenge me too.
Yeah.
And I think that's important when, you know, as we're doing the things that we're doing in life, whether it's being a mother, for me being a nana, you know, when I was a wife and hopefully will be a wife again, you know, it looks totally different now than it did 20 years ago or when it did, you know, even 5 years ago, you know, it looked totally different. We've had some really, you know, tough situations. We've cried over certain things. We've stressed over certain things. We realized like, oh, this is not as easy as I thought it was going to be, or, you know, whatever. We just had all of these experiences to get us to where we are today. And it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. We had to do it 3 or 4 times. It's okay.
Right.
You know, but yeah, sometimes you got to make hard decisions and you got to, And you got to be okay with it. Because if I make a decision and I can't live with it, I can always dig into it again. Did I do the right thing? Do I need to do it again? Do I need to circle back and have a tough conversation that I kind of scooted around the first time? You know, so you know, I know you do difficult things. I know you have hard conversations. You're very straightforward. I appreciate that about you. And if you feel, you know, uneasy or whatever, you'll circle back and have a conversation. Did I blah, 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 blah? Girl, no, you good. Yeah. I just want to make sure. But I'm different. And the person sitting next to me might have a different response.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah. You know, I think sometimes we allow our feelings to dictate too much. I think our feelings will also lie to us sometimes, or not serve us well. What I mean by that is, like, you know, we can get all in our feelings about something and allow it to talk us out of doing something that we actually really want to do, or we will rely on, well, if it doesn't, like, if I don't feel the motivation, I'm not going to do the thing, or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And sometimes you have that's the test. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know, that's when you have to kind of push past and do it anyway, even if you don't feel, I'm not feeling this. And some of the things that we like to, I'm not really feeling this today. I'm just going to do this easy route. I'm going to walk, not run. And all actuality, that bus is about to leave. You better get trotting. Yes. You know, you've got to run. It's, in some circumstances, in some situation, you have to go against the resistance that you may have in doing the tough thing, or pushing a little harder, or even the resistance to rest.
Yeah.
So you have to, you got to make room for that, and pause long enough to ask yourself the question, what am I supposed to get from this? Mm-hmm. You know, how am I supposed to use this information? You know, what should I say to this person? And God might tell you, don't say none at all. I need you to hear her.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a hard one, isn't it?
It can be. It can be. Yeah, it can be. And that's when you have to, you know, and sometimes have you ever been in a situation where someone has circled back to you years later and had said to you, Andrea, I remember the day you said this and it changed my life.
Yes.
You had no idea.
No clue. No recall.
No idea. Which is the reasons why we have got to fulfill our assignments. It's not about what other people tell us in the moment.
Yeah.
It's about, it could be a seed that God is planting that he's going to nurture and water. 5 years down the line, it's going to flourish and grow as a result of that seed. If you don't plant that seed, if you don't have that conversation, if you don't have that moment of, you know, let me clarify this, let me understand this, and you allow someone to see you walk through that to get to a solution or to get to a better understanding of something, then that 5-year experience may never happen.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. So it's not even about getting the, you know, accolades now, or girl, that was this. And it's not even about that. Sometimes you gotta say it, drop it right there, let the silence be the silence, and move on.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah, that's so good.
We, you know, our last episode when we were talking with Vicki Gould, and she's the book writer, she teaches how to write books, and she was talking about how you need to be, you know, show up in the identity of the person that takes the action. Yes. You know, I'm working on my book right now, and I'm so excited about it. But there are some days when I wake up and I don't feel like writing. When I put time on the calendar and I said I'm going to write today, and then I don't feel like it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I love what she said, because she's like, show up as a best-selling writer. What does a best-selling writer do? Well, she writes when she's got a time block on the calendar, because she's a professional, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. And applying that to yourself is key, because you apply it in the other areas of your life. When you're coaching someone in business, and when you're coaching someone in real estate, we're already telling them to show up as a successful real estate investor. Yeah. You got to tell yourself that first, hear yourself say it out loud. So it's the same thing that you are teaching and telling other people that now you have to apply to yourself
when it comes to writing. Yes. Yes. That's for me. And that comes up for me, because it's like the hardest thing I'm doing. It's the thing I resisted for so long, and I'm finally doing it, but it's still hard, and I'm doing it. I just hit the halfway point in submitting my chapters for editing, and it feels really good, but it's stretching me. It is absolutely an identity shift, and I'm very aware of that I've got to show up as the next level version of myself if I'm going to finish. Because I love starting things. I love starting. Yeah, I've got ideas and I'm starting and it's going to be great. It is the finishing that for me is the hard thing.
Now, I hear you saying that it's hard and that it's hard. But is it hard or is it uncomfortable?
Oh, that's a great, it's not hard. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because it's making me dig into parts of myself that and I question, you know, so it's uncomfortable. When I submit chapters, it's fun. I'm like, woo, I did it. I'm doing the thing. It's happening. And you know, but every once in a while I get stuck on how to approach something in it. And then it feels kind of hard, but it's mostly uncomfortable because I'm having to answer questions, in myself that are uncomfortable and, you know, and decide what parts of my story am I going to share and what, you know, do I do the things that I'm teaching, you know,
giving up control too.
Yeah.
In that moment, because if you're telling the story, you got to tell the whole story.
Yeah.
You know, you can't manipulate it or control.
Yeah.
I'm gonna leave this piece out. And then I'm going to leave out chapter, you know, 2 through 12 and only tell chapter 1 and 13. No. So I think it's also tapping into those areas of within yourself that you've identified as areas that you know that you can do better.
Yeah.
Because you have to tell the whole story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the good news is I am tenacious. I can do hard things.
That's right.
I am disciplined. I keep promises to myself. That's who I choose to be in this chapter of my life. And for me, that's a big part of doing hard things is deciding who I'm going to show up as today. And then I got to remind myself that that's who I am.
And you're a successful author. You forgot that.
I am a best-selling author.
There you go. Of how many books?
Oh, at least 3.
There you go. I need to hear that up front. Somewhere near the front of the line, please, ma'am. Yeah. Okay.
It's becoming reality. It is already real. It is. I am in the midst of the reality coming to fruition.
Yeah. I'm super proud of you. I mean, like I said, I'm following your lead. I mean, as you know, I'd like to write a book as well.
Yeah.
And you have, I mean, just, it's been masterful to watch you grow your business and grow who you are. And I mean, because you already have your book. Because you've been pouring into so many other people, you've been giving, you know, you've been sharing of yourself and of your life journey all along. This is not something new. So that made it, you know, for you to go and grab all of that information and now put it together to look the way that you would want it to look as a book, I think made it, and it's from the outside looking in, made it probably a little bit easier for you to start and push past that mark where people kind of turn back.
Mm.
For you to push past that because you're already doing the thing.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, I think that's part of also why I will also put pressure on it.
Yeah.
Or I'll get in my head about it. Like now there's an expectation that it's got to be amazing. Well, it's going to be. It's already amazing.
That's right.
And, but I'll say the same for you, Brenda. We've been telling you for years that you need to write a book. You are an author. You are a best-selling author and it needs to come out to the world. We already know that about you. It's just you taking the next, you know, step into it.
Yeah. I received that. And that's definitely something that is, that's on my mind and something that I want to do. I mean, I can remember when I went through my divorce and I was, you know, I'm a firm believer in therapy.
Okay. Yes,
and I have been all of my life and I was going through, you know, therapy and counseling with my therapist. And I was coming to these sessions and dropping wisdoms and gems and bombs. She's like, girl, you need to write a book.
Nope.
You need to write a book. Almost everything is like, you need to write a book. And I know that's God.
Yeah.
You know, even how I've, you know, as a single mom and a teenage mother and how I was able to build and blend a family long before people started talking about that. Mm-hmm. Creating a life for my son that included everyone in the equation. It's not the normal path that most people were led to believe you should take, because you know, society always has us as women pitting one against the other if you have something in common. And I just, God didn't give me that. So I agree with you. I know I have multiple books here in my hand. I'm looking forward to, you know, bringing the world into my successful author, best-selling author journey. Now, you know, I just have to come from the inside out.
Yes. Yes.
I'm excited about it though, because I think it's just, I mean, I'm just amazed at the world that we live in, even though it's, you know, it can be a little wacko sometimes, some of the things that's happening around us, but I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah.
In my life.
I love that. I love that. That's a good place to come from too. I think that's a magnetic energy that emits is, I am happy, content, grateful, and whatever is next, open hands energy.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just, when I say I wouldn't change a thing, it's not just the good things. I mean, even experiencing what my mother went through and being able to be there with her as she had the journey that she traveled, and having the level of freedom that we have even now. But that meant on the other side, there was a lot of hard work that went into who I am today. And I'm okay with that. You know, I'm a big, I've always been a big history person. I think that if I had to do it again, I probably would have majored in history when I was in college.
Yeah.
Instead of behavior science, even though that's a form of history too, because you're watching other people's behavior. But I'm a big history person. And even you know, preserving my history, my family history. And I love sharing that and encouraging other people, you know, to dig into who are you for real? You know, where did you come from? And because I remember as a young person, people were like, but where did you get that idea from? Or how did you know to approach it this way? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I mean, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Then I started doing my history. Then I started doing my ancestry. Uh-huh. I did the regular ancestry, and I did the African ancestry, which takes you back to your tribe.
Oh, cool.
Yes. Yeah. So I identified my tribe, and then I looked at the characteristics of my tribe from way back when. Can I tell you? It said 1, royalty; 2, entrepreneur; independent thinker. I mean, they had these, I'm like, that's what, family oriented, community oriented.
Yeah.
Okay.
So okay. Like, yeah.
That, you know what I'm saying, girl? Uh-huh. So when I saw that, and I, you know, it was like a light bulb moment. So it took me back to when I was a teenage mother at 16 or 17. At 17, how did I know how to do that? My ancestors did it. Mm-hmm. How did I know that family was important? Not what society thinks family is, but the family in which you created for yourself. Because my ancestors did it. Very tribal.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that's like one of those, like, I am so glad I am who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, hey,
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with us today. I love it.
This is a great conversation. I'm glad we talked about this.
Me too. Well, Brenda, I want to encourage our listeners to do something to take bold action this week. What is something that you believe would move someone forward in their life if they were to do this thing to take bold action this week?
I'm going to probably lead with what I just finished with. Do a little bit of research on yourself.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think it's important to understand who you are and where you came from. If you have the opportunity to trace some of your ancestry, who you are, why you do what you do, and all the things, why not do it? Yeah. Control your destiny by understanding where you came from.
I love it. And I know that almost every single person that digs into that is going to find a story of ancestors who did hard things, that experienced trials and got through it. And that is why you are here today.
Right.
Because it did not take them out.
No.
Yeah.
Or you have this like... You know, you have this great idea and you can't let it go. And you're trying, how come that, you know, I can't let this idea go or whatever this thing is, because there's greatness that comes forward with you.
Yeah.
That makes it possible for you to be resilient, for you to be open-minded, for you to be forgiving, for you to understand there's something bigger than you. So you have to, you know, you have to make room to be authentically yourself. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can sometimes do that is to understand where you came from. So you know where you're going.
I love it. Thank you so much. Brenda, what is a way that our listeners can connect with you if they want to find out how to work with you or listen to you?
Okay. Well, thank you for asking that. Okay. My website is brendastroud.com, www.brendastroud.com. I think I left that off last time. My email is hello@brendastroud.com. I'm also a founder, one of the co-founding members of Roar, also Roar Society. So you can find me on Facebook by looking up Roar. As well as I have my own coaching program, which you can also find when you go to my website. We're looking forward to launching something here in the near future. I cannot wait to share it with you, but okay. You know, I'm not quite ready to say it yet, but it's coming, girl. It's coming.
So exciting. Well, thank you all for listening today. If something on the show resonates with you, let us know, send us a message, give us a review. You can reach out to me through AndreaEngstrom.com, drop us a line. And if you heard something that was encouraging, share this episode with a sister who needs encouragement in her life. And I want to invite you to join me for a free workshop for women entrepreneurs coming up soon. You can register for that at AndreaEngstrom.com. Well, till next time, I'm Andrea, and we are your sisters in business, encouraging you to take action on your dreams. Do the hard thing that you've been putting off. Show up to your life with power and authenticity. Be bold, be tenacious, and make it happen.
Bye.